Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcast for you today, all the way from Ireland. Irish tenor and former Celtic Thunder member Paul Byrum is joining us. We're going to be playing a new song from his new album. The new song is All I Want Is You, and the album is What I Did for Love. Paul will be calling in all the way from Ireland for us. I don't know what time it is there, but I'm going to ask him. I hope the poor thing is not up too late. Before we start, Paul is on the line, but let me just say thank you to our sponsors. The High Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, KWB Wines in South Africa, Cheese for the Times and Other Stuff in Clifton, New Jersey, Syntech Productions in Nova Harbor, New Jersey, Take a Break from Cancer.org for Pete's Sake, Cloys and Designs, New Jersey, Think Big Picture LLC in New York, The Observer Newspaper in Kearney, New Jersey, Joey Max Cafe in Harrison, New Jersey, GenieBottles.com, and H21 Hand Sanitizer. Last night, we had a fabulous evening. Just a wonderful tribute to Dawn Wells, and it was a long night, but totally worth it. Mr. Byrum, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Oh, thank you. I'm fine. Thank you so much for joining me. What time is it over there?
Oh, it's okay. It's early evening. It's only 6 o'clock in the evening here, so it's not too bad at all.
Good, because it's so funny. I do when we do have guests on from overseas. Out of the country, it's like 2 a.m. for them, and I feel horrible, and I hate to, keep talking to them when it's so late. But I
it's not a problem.
Good, thank you. I thank you again for joining me. I'm so excited to play your song. I haven't heard it yet. I love to listen to them along with the listeners as well, and get a fresh listen like everybody else. So. I have to ask you now, when I was doing your promo, I saw you do a lot of covers. How do you choose which covers you want to do?
I suppose, like anything else, when you're doing concerts, I often pick songs that maybe strike a chord with me at that moment in my life, And you would take it out on stage, and often you'll get a good sense of whether or not it's connecting with the audience, or whether it's making any sense of good delivery, and so that's fundamentally what I did for the last year. So I've kind of been listening and singing songs more crossover songs than I normally do. Especially when I'm on tour, I would sing a lot of Irish songs, but of late, in particular, when I'm at home as well, I kind of like to sing the musical theatre and the more mainstream music. I people have been asking me to do an album of that ilk for a number of years, and so I stepped away from the Irish tenor bracket for this album, and I suppose I did a number of crossovers and a number of covers of musical theatre numbers. So. But fundamentally, to answer your question, it's really songs I think that trigger an emotion within me, or I feel I can connect to,
Nice. And now All I Want Is You, is that an original or a cover?
No, All I Want Is You is probably from the greatest rock band of all time, according to many, a group called U2.
I know the song. Yep.
Yeah, so they're from my hometown in Dublin. And I remember many years ago seeing them in New York. I was one of 50 people that was in the audience at an event at the Rockefeller Center, and I remember thinking to myself, my God, they really have, you know, hit the top of the world. You know, small little group from Dublin, and I was very filled with immense pride with them. You know, and then a couple of years later, I got to sing one of U2 songs for Bono on a radio show. His father was a tenor, and he always said that he would have loved to have heard his father singing some of their songs, just to get a sense of what they would have sounded like as in a tenor voice. So that stuck with me, and I always thought that this particular song would work well with an orchestra, and on the track you'll hear 65 musicians playing behind me.
A full orchestra, right? You've got a full orchestra on this song.
That's right, yeah. It's the Prague Philharmonic Orchestra.
Wow. Wow, nice. Well, you mentioned your dad was a tenor as well, so I believe I read that you actually had your first album at the age of 14, so music was definitely in the house.
Not my dad. Bono's dad was a tenor. Music was, though that doesn't take away from your point, though. Music was in my family from the time I was a young boy. My mother was a classically trained pianist, and my father, you know, for a hobby, would have played the guitar and would have. So I would have grown up listening to the likes of classical music, musical theatre, and then my father would have brought like the likes of, you know, Roy Orbison, the Traveling Wilburys, and the Eagles, and all the rest. He loved all of their music, Buddy Holly and stuff like that. So, so I would have grown up with music all the time being played around me, and indeed, even when I'd go to my grandmother's house, you know, and stay with her, she would play music from an older era, so the likes of Nat King Cole, Bing Crosby, Fred Astaire. I had, you know, quite an exposure to an array of music as a young boy growing up, and wonderful, wonderful childhood in that respect, you know.
Right. Well, I think when you do grow up in a household that is like really musically inspired, I mean, like you said, they both played instruments, and your mom played, and your dad loved music too. I mean, you just have a better appreciation for it when you have to
Yeah, I mean, it's like a flower, I suppose. If you keep watering it, it'll develop into something hopefully beautiful. So, yeah, so that's what they did. In fairness to them, they continued to encourage the talent that I had, and as you said, I released my first album at the age of 14, and you know, I did my first opera, professional opera, at the age of 12, in the National Concert Hall in Dublin, and I think that was the first time I experienced a proper production and a professional production, and I kind of, at that stage, I knew I wanted nothing else other than to be a singer.
Right. Now, do you enjoy doing the plays more than the actual concerts, or I'm sure you love both, but which do you prefer most?
It's funny. I enjoy both for sure. I certainly love the concerts. I love singing a variety of songs. I love interacting with the audience, and in particular, meeting them after the shows. I mean, that's very much part of the enjoyment for me, the variety. But, you know, what's great about doing the plays and doing musical theatre is that if I'm in a play or a musical theatre production, I'm not the one putting it on, so I don't have any of the stress or worries about selling tickets. So I can just enjoy being in the production. Whereas when you go out as a touring artist, you know, it's all on you, you know, so it's a little bit more pressure and stress.
Right. When you're doing the play, you just show up and do your thing. But like in the show, it's just more work.
Exactly.
It takes
away
from
exactly.
It takes away the joy. It takes away the joy of doing it a little bit. So
does. Well, you know, it's funny. Somebody said to me a long time ago, and it stuck with me. You know, the person I was talking to at the time said, I love the show, just not the business. So like, there's no business like show business. Love the show, but not the business.
Right, and that's what people don't get. It is called show business for a reason. There's a lot of business going on behind the show. So
it's a lot going on. I would say 85% of it is business, and then and the rest is the actual enjoyment of getting out and performing, you know?
Exactly, exactly. Well, I have to ask you, since you're Irish, you got to be a rugby guy. Are you a rugby guy?
Yeah, I went to a rugby school. So in Ireland, I would be in Dublin in particular. The school I went to would be considered one of the best in the country for churning out rugby players. An awful lot of the Irish international rugby players come from my school. And in fact, America, the USA rugby team has a young player called McGinty who plays number 10. And he was in my school as well. So yeah, we're quite a factory for rugby players. However, I was goddamn awful at rugby. So I was great at cheering and singing the chants, but don't get the ball anywhere near me. I don't want to get dirty.
Well, I brought it up because my son, he loves rugby, and when I first went to see him play, I still don't understand the game. Went to every game he ever had. I still don't understand it, but the first time I saw it, I said, this is crazy. If you want to get your ass kicked, go stand on the corner and say, somebody come kick my ass. I just don't understand it. I don't understand it. It's a bunch of guys just getting beat up over a ball. It's a fun game.
It's a great game. Yeah, it is a great game. And look, you know, it's one of those games that you don't have to necessarily understand all the rules to enjoy, much like the NFL. I mean, there's a lot of times you're watching the NFL and you don't know what the flag has been thrown onto the pitch for. And you're like, mother of God, what's going on? And they're stopping it again.
With
rugby, you know, the golden rule always, which is bizarre, the closer you get to the ball, the less chance you have of getting injured. So if you're right in the thick of it, you know, you've less chance of getting injured. I don't know the logic behind it. I was never one to be in the middle of it.
Yeah, well, he loves it. He actually chose his college around the rugby. The rugby that they offered at the school. That's how he chose which school he was going to, because he wanted to be on a great rugby team, and he loves it. But I'm telling you, I don't get it, but he loves it. I'm behind him on it. And
there's an old expression that rugby is a gentleman's game played by barbarians.
I can see that, because I'm telling you, it's a crazy game to watch. It is, but
it's
a good game. It's fast too. It's not even a long game.
Oh yeah.
So that's true. Because I'm not a sports fanatic, so when you said the flag in football, I don't know what they mean. So if there's a flag,
that's
pretty cool.
You know, I'm somebody that I love sports. I am a sports fanatic, but brutal at every single one of them. So I'm an elite sports supporter, but absolutely dog awful at actually any sport at all. And I've tried them all. I've tried to find one of them that I'm good at, and I'm just useless at them all.
Well, you do have a sport. You got singing. Singing is your sport. That's your sport. So.
Well, for sure. Yeah, I certainly enjoy it, and you know, it's important to find what you're good at and give 100% to it, and that's what I did from a young age. And in fairness to the school that I went to, Blacker College, they, although known for rugby and sports, they were extremely encouraging of my music and anybody that was, I suppose, into anything, you know, something that may be considered the minority, they were very encouraging with. And so, you know, I was very fortunate with that. And as you touched on earlier, I had a great family that supported me growing up singing, you know.
Right. Well, tell us about the album, the new album, What I Did for Love. What was the method for, well, again, we touched on that earlier, how you picked your songs, but now the songs throughout, do you have a theme going, or you just picked whatever felt good to you?
Yeah, well, yeah, so normally when I have an album, when I record an album, I have an idea as to what I want, and as you said, there will be a theme to it, you know. So like the previous album was an album called Thinking of Home, and it was surprisingly, I didn't even realize, but it was 7 years previous. I couldn't believe that I had gone 7 years without recording an album.
Wow.
And that album in particular was like, I was touring a lot. I was living abroad at the time, and my mind was, you know, always thinking of home, and you grow an appreciation for all things Irish when you live abroad, much like when if you were American abroad, you'd be thinking about America.
Thinking about home.
Yeah, so that album was very much along those lines. And so with this album then, I had gone a number of years, and then last year I turned 40, and I wanted to do
birthday.
An album. thank you. But, you know, I wanted to do an album that I suppose represented those 40 years in some respects, like, you know, the ups and downs and the trials and the tribulations. And that's very much the basis of the album. And that, you know, when pondering, for example, on my career itself, you know, the fact that there was some mighty highs in it, and of course, you know, there was the odd low, and there was the moments in your career, as is everybody, I suppose, if they're being honest, where you're questioning what you're doing or what you're at and why you're doing it. And maybe you wish you were more successful or wish you were more, you know, financially stable or whatever. And it came to me that, you know, I'm doing it for the love of it, you know. And so then when I came across the song from A Chorus Line, What I Did for Love, and I heard the story behind it, and it was that. It was about a dancer, and although she got injured and her career was coming to an end, you know, the question was, why did she do it? What was it all for? And of course, it was for the love of the art, for the talent of what she had. So, and so that was the idea of the album itself, What I Did for Love, and you know, all my career to this point has been because I love it, and I've stuck with it because I love it, and I couldn't imagine doing anything else. And then, so throughout the album, then you'll come across every song on the album has a memory or a meaning over my 40 years. And so, for example, there's a song, Memory, from Cats on the album. Beautiful song, which could stand alone without a story, but it's on it because I remember my first ever musical was going to see Cats, and that's when I was fell in love with musical theatre. And myself and my sister used to sing it as little kids as a duet, you know, and brings back a lot of good memories of me and my sister. And then You'll Never Walk Alone is on the album because
when
you listen to the lyric, you know, we were all going through a pretty horrific time in history now, whether you're in America or in Ireland or wherever. The pandemic has affected us all and in a number of respects. And the lyric alone, you know, at the end of the storm, there's a golden sky. And it's a song that's full of hope. And you have to believe that is the case for all of us, that we will get through this and that there is better times ahead, you know. And then In My Life by the Beatles is on the album. And, of course, it's a pensive song, a moment you sit back and you just think of all the people that have come into your life and left your life and all the different chapters you've had in your life. And so that's the theme of the album. It's very much an album of hope. I kind of think a lot of people will get stuff out of it, you know.
Yeah, it's a great selection, what you're saying, the songs that are on there. I mean, beautiful songs. Have you ever heard Elvis do You'll Never Walk Alone?
Oh, I have. I sure God, Elvis could sing the alphabet, and it would sound great.
He does that. I mean, everything he does, and my hair stands up like on my arms. Like, I don't know, but voice, like you said, he could sing a phone book, the alphabet, anything, but... Well,
yeah,
I'm
incredible.
Dying to hear.
Barbara Streisand as well did a version of it, which is stunning, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I would love, I'm dying to hear this song, so why don't we play it for everybody, and let's enjoy it. Everybody, All I Want is You from What I Did for Love by Paul Byram. Check it out. It's his voice is beautiful. I haven't heard this one yet. I listened to your other ones, but you have such a beautiful voice. Here we go.
Thank you, sir.
I Want is You. Paul Byron.
Diamonds on a ring of gold,
Vibrato is beautiful. Oh my God.
Thank you.
The violins right before the crescendo was so pretty. Oh my God. And then your voice when you let
Thank
it
you.
Go. Oh my God. Beautiful. Very nicely done. Beautiful, Paul.
Thank you, sir. Thank
Love
you.
It.
Yeah, the
Love
orchestra
it.
Are great, and the arrangement is beautiful. An arrangement by Gavin Murphy, and he's done arrangements for some of the top artists in the world. So very lucky to have him on board for this album.
Now, has Bono or you two heard it?
I don't know, to be honest with you. So the album only came out just before Christmas, and so I was kind of busy promoting it up until Christmas, and I kind of didn't go out. I mean, I'll get a copy to him, and we'll see what he thinks of it. But no, Dublin is a small scene, so no doubt he'll get a copy of it very soon.
Hmm, that's beautiful. Very nice. Very nice.
Thank
you. Where can everybody get the album, Paul?
So the best way to get the album, if you want a hard copy, if you're like a traditionalist like myself who likes to hold a CD and put it into a player and look at the artwork and all of that, you can. The best way to do it is come onto my website, paulbyram.ie, and you can order it there. And then you can obviously get it on iTunes and Spotify and all the usual outlets. But for the hard copy, better just come direct to myself. But in the meantime, as I said, you can download it and stream it on Spotify and iTunes.
Are you giving away autographed copies?
I'm not at the moment, but I will be. I mean, I will be in time, as I said, because the demand initially, obviously, when a new album comes out, the demand is quite high, and so I would I was afraid to offer that, or I would have had writer's cramp. You know, I would have been still writing the signatures, and unfortunately, the post as well at the moment is so slow. I don't know if you're aware of that, but like the post in America seems to be so bizarre.
They removed mailboxes, and they I don't even want to go into it, but anyway,
People that ordered CDs on the 4th of December and they're only getting them now. And I'm like, what? They were posted on the 4th of December. Times, I suppose, we're living in.
Right. Well, yeah, they not only destroyed the country, they destroyed the mailing system as well. But I'm not going to touch on that. Well, I've got to say, you must have a humongous Irish following, so you must be extremely popular in Ireland. I don't know much about Ireland, so I apologize if that sounds uneducated. I apologize, but you must be huge in Ireland. My God, your voice is just tremendous.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, I mean, I'm known, I suppose, but like if you're into my kind of music, you'd know me, you know what I mean? I'm on television regularly enough here as well, so, you know, I'm fortunate in that regard. But Irish are kind of different. We're a different breed of people to, let's say, the Americans in that, like if you went in into a restaurant and you could be the most famous artist in the world, like if you could be Bono, for example, and they wouldn't go over to you, you know. They wouldn't go over to you for the picture. They wouldn't go over and say hello. They'd kind of look at you like you've two heads and make you feel slightly uncomfortable. But they're not like, whereas an American will be straight up and you say, hey, how are you? Can I get your photo or can I get whatever signed? Mm. And then it's over, you know. Whereas the Irish look at you all the way through the meal, you know. So we're just a different make of people. But but no, I suppose I'm fortunate in that the following I have is very loyal, both in Ireland and in particular America. The American audience has been remarkably loyal to me and supportive over the years. It blows my mind, and I constantly remind my friends and family and people here in Ireland of how wonderfully friendly and welcoming and generous and kind the American people are. And I often feel that gets lost, it gets lost in the media and gets lost in translation, you know, and it's important to realize that you're a wonderful country in many respects, but like everything, there's cracks and there's issues that need to be fixed, but as a people, wonderful, wonderful people, and I've always been made feel very welcome and very very supported, and genuinely, I mean this wholeheartedly. I'm not just blowing smoke, as they say. So I have missed. I was on tour in March and I had to cancel it to come back due to COVID, and I thought I'd be back out before the end of 2020, and of course I thought I'd be out in the spring in 21, but it looks like we're all just still waiting. But I miss traveling and touring and meeting the Americans very, very much.
I was going to ask you is that with COVID, how have you been performing or not? It's online. Were you able to perform at all in Ireland? I mean,
Everything is, I mean, what you're experiencing over there, it's kind of almost worse here, you know. Like, I was only talking today to friends in Boston, wondering were they in lockdown, because we're in lockdown at the moment in Ireland. You can't go further than 5 kilometers
That's what we need, Paul. That's what we need to get rid of this thing.
I think you do personally, but not one to say how you guys should govern your own country. But here in Ireland, we are at the moment we're not allowed to leave further than 5 kilometers from our home, only for exercise. All shops and pubs, restaurants, they're all closed. Essential shops are open, so, you know, supermarkets and groceries. And for pubs to close in Ireland, that says a lot. So we're very much on lockdown at the moment. There's no theatres then open. There's no talk of it even at the moment for some considerable time. Our numbers are out of control, and the only way our government and the health officials here are advising the only way to beat this is by shutting down and staying home.
Yeah.
We're not meeting families, we're not meeting friends. There's no, they're literally saying you stay within your house. I mean, I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
So my grandmother sadly passed away on Thursday evening.
Oh,
and we have the funeral on Monday, and only 10 of us will be allowed to attend of my family, of my friend. She was 101. And
oh,
we,
God, awesome.
We won't get the big send-off she deserves, you know, but that's what's required, you know, in order to do this, to beat this.
Right.
It's all in our hands, and we have to wear the masks and all of that social distance. And so to answer your original question, sorry I diverted a little bit, but to answer your original question, I'm doing the odd online concert every kind of 2 months. I kind of do it. I did one on Thanksgiving.
Nice.
I did one over Christmas. I do it on stages.com. And that's kind of keeping the wolf from the door, so to speak. That's paying the bills, and that's kind of, as I said, keeping me interested in the singing, keeping the voice working, and keeping in contact with, as I said, the fan base. That's the best I can hope for at the moment, because there's just no alternative option. There is no shows happening anytime soon.
I know. That's what I say to a lot of my guests, and I'll say it to you too, and I'm sorry to the listeners for repeating it again, but when you put out a new project, it's got to be bittersweet, because when you've got it out, you want to play that son of a gun and perform, and you know, and you can't.
Yeah.
You can't. So,
people
understand if they're not a musician or an entertainer, when you do a prop, that's your baby, you know, and you love it, and you want everybody to know it.
Yeah, you're right. And normally, you know, when I would release an album, it would coincide with the number of concerts afterwards, you know, and so that hasn't been able to be done this time around. And so there was the discussion, would I hold off, you know, until we could tour it? But I was very adamant that the album be released, because I think more than anything, it needs to show that there is hope, and that we can still release music and still provide entertainment and joy and relief to people. And that although it may not generate the sales that it would normally make, it's out there and people are enjoying it, and it's there for people to enjoy. And that's kind of almost the point of what I'm doing. So, so I said, look, let's just go with it, and then let's release it, and almost give the two fingers to COVID by releasing it. You know, you're not going to keep us down. We'll keep going.
Right, but just think of all the the fun and celebration there's going to be when this is all done. Oh my goodness.
Well, that's it. And look, you know, as I say to all your listeners, and I say to anybody, you know, that we will get through this, and of course we will get together and celebrate, as you say. But in order to be involved in that party, we have to do an awful lot of sacrifice before that. We need to wear masks.
Yeah.
We need to stay at home. We need to restrict our social gatherings as much as we can. And look, whether you like it or not, that's the only way this is going to be beaten, you know. And it's all well and good until you get it, and then it's curtains for a lot of people.
Right.
So,
thank you so much. Wait, I got to say, I don't mean to cut you off. Thank you so much for sharing that with our listeners who are listening in the United States. It is the only way it's going to work, people. That's our problem. Nobody's listening. They don't want to do what they're supposed to do, you know?
Yeah, I just think what's happening is there's conflicting reports, and there's always these, social media is a wonderful thing in many respects, but it's also the kiss of the devil, because, you know, somebody just comes up with a theory based on nothing, throws it out, and then it grows momentum and it gets retweeted and this, that, the other.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden people are not wearing masks, or people are not believing in the vaccine, or people are not washing their hands, or, you know, all of these kind of silly things, that basic, simple things that we should all be aware of. It's really not rocket science. Nobody, when you think of what our grandparents and great-grandparents had to do with regards to fighting in world wars, or the Vietnam War, or doing whatever it might have been, you know, sacrifices they had to make in order for the better of society. That's what they had to do, get out and fight.
Right.
And whereas all we're asking our generation to do is wear a mask.
Right.
Like, We're upset about that. I mean, that that strikes me as remarkable. We're happy to see,
and it's the most
over 200...
most ridiculous thing. Most ridiculous thing. It's a mask. My God, it's not a, you know, it's a mask.
Yeah, it's really not
whatever.
A huge amount to ask.
Yeah, well, I thank you for stressing to the people listening in the United States what needs to be done, because that's what I've said. If people would just listen and do what they're supposed to do, we'd be over this a hell of a lot faster than we're going to be. So, end
yeah,
of that.
Well,
let's
listen,
not go over
I'm not looking to preach, you know, and I'm certainly not looking to lecture. We're in this now at the moment, and it does strike me as remarkable the difference between the different countries. I mean, the UK.
Yes.
Seem to be handling COVID, you know, now they're in lockdown, but they seem to be just slow to do it, you know, and now they're seeing results because we're in lockdown. So, or they're in lockdown, should I say. And so thankfully Ireland are doing it, and we'll get through this, as I said, but it's going to take a bit of sacrifice on all our hands, you know.
I know. Yeah, well, we got to do it together, and together we will. And if you guys want to check out Paul's new album, What I Did for Love, I mean, it's perfect for right now. The music, it's letting you know that everything's going to be okay, guys. And check it out. I just loved All I Want Is You. Oh, my God, I loved it. So, well, Paul, I thank you so much for joining me today. It was really nice talking with you. And I wish you the best with the album. And God, stay safe and stay healthy. And thank you again.
Thank you. No problem. My
pleasure. Have a lovely day.
We'll talk soon.
Have a good night.
Take care.
Have a good night.
Yes,
is it night or day?
You too.
It's night.
It's 6:30.
Yes,
it's 6:30. I'm going to go have my dinner and I will maybe watch a movie this evening. That's the extent of my night tonight. Listen, take care. Thank you again.
Thank you, Paul. Take care. It was a pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Everybody, Paul Byron, you're going to check out his new album. It's really, I mean, he's got such a beautiful voice. If you just want to chill and relax, I mean, my God. It's just soothing. What I Did for Love is the album. You get it at paulbyram.ie if you want the actual CD in hand. Or obviously it's available on all fine, well, I shouldn't say fine, all the music online outlets are all legit. You know, they're not, I shouldn't even have to say that. Anyway, I apologize for going into that and about the COVID, but, you know, a sad thing is, guys, you know, other countries follow us, and if we don't do something, the world will never get over this. They look up to us. I don't know how much now, but, you know, what we do, people follow. So, and I'm praying that we get better, and we can only do it together. So anyway, I thank Paul. I hate to go on politics. We don't do that here. I don't like politics, period. I don't like talking about it. But lately, you know, when things are crazy, I can't sit idly by and watch. So anyway, tomorrow, actually, Jay Michaels was going to join us. We have to reschedule Jay. His something came up. So, unfortunately, we got to cancel tomorrow's show, and I'm disappointed. I was looking forward to talking to him. Also, I didn't want to embarrass Paul. He called me sir twice, and over the years of heavy smoking, my voice has gotten deeper over the years, so I do apologize for mentioning it, but I did hear him, and I didn't want to embarrass him, so, but it was funny. I laughed, so. It's all good. But anyway, yeah. Oh, my God. We got really some great guests coming up, too. On Wednesday, Bermuda Schwartz, he's the drummer of Weird Al. That's going to be cool to talk to him. And on the 16th, Johnny Whitaker from Family Affair and Sigmund and the Sea Monsters. I really remember him from the Huckleberry. That's where the first time I saw him was Huckleberry Finn. And then, no, I think he was older, so it must have been Family Affair. Yeah, he was older. Family Affairs when I first saw him. And then Huckleberry Finn, and then, of course, Sigmund and the Sea Monsters that we love. So. And by pure coincidence, Kathy Garver is on the 17th, and she played Sissy on Family Affairs. So that's going to be great. And we've got other guests, too. I'm not up for reading right now. It was a long night. It was a great time, but it was a long night. And we had some great guests on. Judy Tenuta. Anson Williams, Allison Arngrum, Elaine Ballas kept calling. Thank God she did, because I had technical difficulties and I didn't get to get Elaine on, and Herbie Pilato and Terry Ray. So Danelle Dadigan was the last person that was on, and it's actually in a part two. So there's part one, I think it's 2 hours, or I don't know actually. And part two has just Danelle on it, but it's worth the listen. Danelle was just, oh my God, what a pleasure. Just a lovely woman. And I thank you all for listening on a Saturday. Hope everybody's doing well. Stay safe out there. Let's be nice to each other, and together we're going to get through this, please. We have to. I see no other alternative. Think about it, people. If we don't do this, what do we got? We're going to kill each other. Stop, please. Oh, God, I wish I could take that out of this show right now. I apologize for saying that. I just love my country. I'm sorry. I love my people, and I'm speechless, to be honest. So, all right. Have a good one. Have a great Saturday. And, I'm actually off tomorrow if Jay's not on. I'm with Jay. Oh, that's good. Okay, we're going to relax tomorrow. Nice. It's been a while. I could use it. Oh, thank you so much for listening, everybody. Have a great weekend. Take care. Be kind, please.